I'm wanting another week or so of study before we get into the next section of Proverbs. And for the last, we've been here 10 years. So for the last 10 years, we've had an on-again, off-again sort of series in which we look at some of the songs that we sing or hymns that we get into. That series is, I've titled the series, Songs in the Night. And I looked it up, and it's actually been a year since we've done one of those. And so I'd like for us to look at the history of one of our hymns together this evening. This is not one that we sing together, not much, or not recently, but it's one I'm going to think that many of you are familiar with. But it's not in your old book. So if you can find a blue book, I would encourage you to find a celebration hymnal, a blue book, and turn to 506, hymn 506 in your blue book. And then in your Bible, Matthew chapter number 16. In your blue book, hymn number 506. And in your Bible, Matthew chapter 16. Celebration hymnal 506. And in your Bible, Matthew chapter 16. I trust that some of you are familiar with the missionary efforts of a man by the name of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was murdered on the mission field. He had traveled to try and reach an indigenous group of people, local group of people, that the gospel was completely foreign to them. And very early in his efforts to reach them with the gospel, they attacked he and another group of missionaries that were with him and killed Jim Elliot. If you're not familiar with that, I would encourage you to look at Through the Gates of Splendor. Wonderful book, great book. You can watch the movie, but Through the Gates of Splendor. But Jim Elliot kept a journal, and in his journal he wrote this. And I want to share these words. I hope they're not new to you. Jim Elliot wrote these words. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Or to look at it a different way, look at Matthew 16, verse 26, where our Lord asked a couple of thought-provoking questions. Matthew 16, verse 26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" There, our Lord is challenging his original audience and us by extension to think about the temporary nature of all earthly things, whether it is material goods or fame or fortune. And he asked this question, what would it profit? Ultimately, what would be the profit if somebody could gain everything? And the truth is, no one ever does. Even the most powerful people on the planet don't own it all. But even if you had billions and were well known, what would it profit if you had all of that but lost your soul? If you are not a Christian, all of these earthly things are going to melt away. They're going to vanish. They're going to be gone. And so having Christ and having Him and being in relationship with Jesus is of far greater value than anything that this world can offer us, which is exactly what Jim Elliot was driving at when he said it. He is no fool who gives up what he can't keep in order to gain what he cannot lose, eternal reward. Or Jesus asked, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you going to offer God? Everything is his anyway. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So what would it profit you if you had it all, but you didn't have Jesus? Or let me flip that around. What if you only had just a tiny fraction of what this world has to offer, but your soul is safely resting in the arms of Jesus? Aren't you much better off? Aren't you so much better off, though our world doesn't see this? Aren't you so much better off with just a tiny fraction, just a little bit of what this earth has, but you also have Jesus? So much more than if you had everything, had it all, owned businesses and houses and lands, and you were known. If you had all of that, but you didn't have Christ, ultimately you are a pauper. You're a pauper. This is the very heart, this thought of valuing the eternal, valuing our relationship with God, valuing that far more than earthly things. That is the very heart of the song that we have selected to consider this evening, I'd Rather Have Jesus. The foolish person, squeeze a little Proverbs in, the foolish person would rather have this world. They choose to give themselves over, live for, work for this world, the world's goods, the admiration, applause, and approval of people of this world. Yet a wise person realizes that those things are all but vanity and vexation of spirit. They're emptiness, whether it is earthly goods, wealth, riches, men's approval, men's applause, men's admiration. It's all vanity, according to Solomon. Wise person realizes that these earthly things are short-lived. But having Jesus, having saving faith in Jesus, is eternal and is of far greater value than anything that this world affords. I want to introduce you to a lady named Rhea Miller. And I'm not sure I'm pronouncing her name rightly, but Rhea or Rhea Miller is the author of this song. In your hymn book, you can see that on the bottom left-hand portion of the page. She lived from 1894 to 1966, and she had written this song and had originally set it to different music than what we know or what we are familiar with. Miss Miller, Miss Rhea Miller, was a godly lady, Christian, who after her husband's death would travel, and in particular, she taught children how to play piano. She played piano for her church. She was very gifted in that. And she, in particular, she would teach pastors' children how to play the piano and would teach them for free. And then she would teach other children as well and made a little bit of money off of her teaching lessons, piano lessons. But she was very well known. The author of this hymn was very well known for being always positive, always smiling, always encouraging others. But life wasn't always easy for her. When she was young, her and her mother lived with the father husband who was an alcoholic. The lady who wrote this, Rhea Miller, her father was an alcoholic. In fact, I read that he would steal from his wife, go in her purse and steal money to go buy booze. He was a drunk. Though Rhea's mother was a devout Christian, again, some short biography of her, I was reading that she was incredibly committed to her local church. She walked to church, didn't matter whether it was hot, raining, cold, snowing, whatever it was. Rhea's mother was very dedicated to her local church. However, it was tough on the family growing up with an alcoholic father. But after years of praying, God miraculously saved her father and transformed him. As a matter of fact, he would end up becoming a pastor and joining the local Baptist church and would serve in ministry of that local church. This happened he was saved when Rhea was 16 years old. Her father, his name was Martin Ross, shared his testimony. When God saved him and changed his life, he stood up in the church, gave his testimony, and related to the church just how much Jesus meant to him. This former alcoholic testified to that small congregation and said these words, "I would rather have Jesus than all the gold and silver in the world. I'd rather have Him than anything this world has to offer." He said this, and his words echoed in the mind of his daughter till she was 28 years old, 12 years after his conversion. She took his words and composed this song. She took her father's words, his testimony, and wrote this song. This is a testimony of grace and God redeeming someone from a lifestyle of sin. Give God glory that He saves sinners and brings them out of the miry pit and sets their feet upon a rock. But it is also a testimony to parental faithfulness. It should be an encouragement to us. We don't know how God may use a word fitly spoken, saying the right thing as a parent or a grandparent in spiritual matters, relating spiritual truth. This guy, this man, stood up in front of a church and said, I'd rather have Jesus than gold or silver. And 12 years later, his daughter sits down and writes a song. I'd rather have Jesus. We don't know the impact our lives can have on children and grandchildren. Let that be a testimony to you. That's one of the things that as I was studying and reading on this, that I was really encouraged by, was the fact that in each of these accounts, the faithfulness of either father or mother or both had a lasting influence, a lasting impact on the lives of their children. So in 1922, Rhea Miller wrote this song, wrote her own music to go with the song. But that's not the fact that she wrote this song. I doubt anybody walked in here tonight and could have guessed who wrote "I'd Rather Have Jesus." Our familiarity, and I would say most of us here this evening are familiar with this song, but our knowing it and being familiar with it really does not have anything to do so much with the original author, the original writer, but instead, we have become, I think most of us have become familiar with this story because of the man who sang it so often and so much. So to relate that story, let's discuss excuse me, let's discuss the man that composed the music that we are familiar with, George Beverly Shea. You will see that again in your hymn book. He took and wrote new music, set new music to it. I want to discuss that a little bit more. But that's more of how we're familiar with it, not from the original author, but from George Beverly Shea. Bev Shea is what his friends called him. Now, most of you probably are familiar with that name. Great baritone voice, phenomenal singer, traveled with the Billy Graham Crusades for over 60 years. It hasn't been that long since George Beverly Shea passed. I'll mention that again in a moment. But many of you, I'm sure, have heard him or listened to him sing. You can get online and listen to him sing. Greatly used, greatly blessed by God with a tremendous voice. He also stated that his parents' faith had a significant impact on his life. His father was a pastor. His mother was an organist. And every morning, every weekday morning, she would sit down at the piano like an alarm clock and begin playing the same song and singing the same hymn every morning to wake up the family and get them going. Except on Sunday, she would sing a different hymn every Lord's Day. When he, that is when George Beverly Shea, when he was 21, a talented musician and singer, he auditioned for a talent show. He ended up being put on NBC in a talent show and came in second place. This is kind of interesting, I thought. He ended up losing the contest to a yodeler. A yodeler of all things, and he was given $15 for his second place in prize money. However, he did receive nationwide fame and attention through his voice and through his singing, and he was offered several lucrative music contracts to record music, secular music. Yet soon after his appearance on the TV show, he sat down at his mother's organ one Sunday morning and was going to practice. He was going to play for the church that day. He sat down at the organ one Sunday morning to practice for the hymn that he was going to play that day. And his mother, George Beverly Shea's mother, had left a handwritten note. A copy of a poem, had left it for him there on the organ with a little note that said, "Try and set this to music." The poem that she had written was entitled, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." She had taken that poem written by Raya Miller, had copied it by hand, left it for George Beverly Shea, and that morning he began to compose the music and sang and played it at their church that very morning. He, a few years later, would copyright it as it is now, but not too long after that, rather than taking on those lucrative contracts that were given to him through music companies, instead of that, he joined the Billy Graham Crusades and sang hundreds and hundreds of times to scores of people. It is thought that George Beverly Shea has sung live, now live, to more people than any other person in human history. Through his singing live on the radio and through singing at the Billy Graham Crusades for 60 plus years, it is thought that he sang live to more people than any other person in history. He ended up recording 70 some albums, earned 10 Grammy nominations, won one of them, incredibly successful man, passed away at the age of 104 years old in 2013, just 10 years ago. But his version of this song has blessed tens of thousands, if not more, and has related a truth that every single Christian confirms. And that is, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Rhea Miller, the original writer, she's absolutely spot on. What we have in Christ is worth more than silver or gold. Her dad was right. What we have in Christ is worth more than all the world's possessions. And what we have in Christ can't be purchased at any price. What we have in Him is worth more than houses, lands, fame, and fortune. Christian, confessing believer, is there anything in this world that you would trade your faith for? Is there anything? Could you put a dollar figure on it? How much would you be willing to give your faith away for? How much would it cost? The answer is there is no amount of money. There is nothing that I would take in exchange for my relationship with Christ. I'd rather have Him, wouldn't you, than anything else? Freedom from sin. Freedom from sin and sin's penalty is of far greater value than anything on this planet. Or, to put it in red letters, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what would you give in exchange for your soul? Do you agree with me this evening that Jesus is sweeter, fairer, and better than anyone or anything this world has to offer? Or to quote a martyred saint, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I want us to sing this song together this evening. I don't know when we have sung it. We may butcher our way through it. But it is a beautiful song. I know we're not going to sound like George Beverly Shea. I know that for sure. But I want us to sing this song together this evening.